Steve and Jill here.
Happy Friday.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how to go from land hobby enthusiast to business owner. This topic came from a conversation that Jill had recently, very recently, with one of our members, one of our long time members.
Like 4 years.
Yeah. So before we get into it, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
John asks, does anyone know where the land use and property indicator fields come from and what they mean in parcelfact.com or neighborscoop.com, by the way? It's the same for both. I contacted the county and they don't know anything about them.
Yeah. There's 330 columns of data in the data set for ParcelFact and Land Academy and NeighborScoop. NeighborScoop is a ParcelFact on steroids. So really, this question is about NeighborScoop, not ParcelFact. ParcelFact is just real estate. NeighborScoop's got so many more features. And some of those those columns are useless.
Like phone numbers, by the way.
Go ahead. Yeah, phone numbers and FEMA floodplain data and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's some of these columns are very, very helpful, and some of them are not helpful. And the county, because they're all exactly the same, for every, there's 3,200 counties in the country, approximately, 3,144. And the assessors look at things differently. What that is the assessor role for the county. So a rural county in Texas, where the assessor is also the sheriff, and she's also the diner owner, mm-hmm. doesn't spend a lot of time on all
these counters. And the only notary.
Counters. Yeah. Doesn't spend a lot of time versus, you know, the county of New York, you know, where Manhattan is. So where they do utilize all that data pretty dramatically. So urban counties and rural counties, there's very, very, and everything in between are very highly different. Land use, if it's used at all, I'm telling you, is meaningless. And so is property indicator. What you see all the time, I don't know why, is land use 400, which means vacant land. Mm-hmm. Do I rely on that in any way significantly to do any, make any decisions? Absolutely not. So John, forget about it.
Yeah, skip it.
That's why they don't know anything about it. In fact, the aggregator, in this case, RealQuest Pro, may even just fill that in for no reason. You know, it may be a post data collection from the assessor.
Everything that falls in this category, they just right. call it that.
So it's to wrap that this up in a little package, you'll know if it makes sense to you immediately.
I was going to say land use and property indicator is not zoning.
Right.
That's different.
So like in a county like LA, and zoning is awesome. We do zoning-based mailers.
I care about that.
But in a rural county, like most counties in Arkansas, you know, if you call and say, hey, what's the zoning on this property? What they'll tell you, literally, quite literally, is anything you want it to be. Please don't call again.
It's hilarious.
Please don't call again, you Yankee.
Yeah. You yuppie from Scottsdale.
Today's topic, how to go from land hobby enthusiast to business owner.
This is
the meat of the show.
Or you liberal nut from California.
Yep.
I don't know.
We've been called a lot of stuff.
What else can you be called? Let's see.
Couldn't be farther from the truth,
you
by the way.
Brain fried pot smoking. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
You hippie wannabe.
Hippie from the Bay Area.
Thanks for wrecking every single election that I've ever watched go across the country right at the end.
That's right. Where are you from? We hate you guys. The only way you can win if you say, I was born here, I was raised here, my mom's from here, you should need to cover all parts of the country.
To which I say,
I'm a melting pot.
Man, you and I have a lot more in common than you really think.
There we go. And let them just run with that.
I can calm them down.
That's good. Okay, so to how to go, here's what happened. Are we in the show right
yeah.
now? Okay. So I had a call with a member a couple days ago. And we're just kind of chatting. And I found out as I uncovered, he's like, he's in stuck in hobby mode. And I'm like, why are you stuck in hobby mode? You know, I asked him more. It was very interesting. He's been with us. He's been with us for 4 years, been very happy, loves us, loves the education, loves the tools, everything about it. He's like, and he thinks he's done really well. I said, that's great. Tell me your numbers. I bought less than 10 properties. I'm like, and it's just a hobby. I'm like, why is that? So we talked for a little bit, and I hung up the phone, and I thought about it for a little bit, and I realized he's probably going to stay in hobby mode. I gave him some suggestions, but it's stuff he already knew. I'm like, why don't you sell them and buy 10 more, you know, kind of thing.
What did he say?
I could. That's just kind of
this fascinates
he
me.
He felt really good about it. His experience was great because he bought that many properties. I'm like, and, you know, and he's going, and actually the conversation was about, you know, checking in. He's happy to be back at his job. He got a job again. He either went back to or got a new job, and feeling very good about that. Sound like no, never been hurt, wasn't hurting, you know, at all financially through this whole virus times. But, and that's just kind of who he is. And I was thinking about, gosh, how many people in our community are sitting in hobby mode that I don't know about? And they may be happy in hobby mode, but...
Well, they're obviously happy in hobby
mode. I guess so.
Or they would change, make some
changes.
That's true,
they would. So when I'm thinking about, gosh, okay, so what is it? What... it's obviously something in the person. It's not that you don't know how to do this. It's not like you don't have these tools. It's not like you don't have the money.
He proved the concept 10 times.
So there's something about it that they don't want to make this a business. So, and I would say they're just not business owners, period. I mean, that's the, for me, at the end of the day, it's not this business. I think it's any business. There's just a lot of people that aren't cut out to be business owners. They probably aren't cut out to have employees. I don't want to pick on people. Tell me if I'm...
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I just think that I'm not capable of doing something halfway. I'm either going to do it or I'm going to not do it. You know, if it's worth doing... This, my dad used to say this to me all the time. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And so, you know, I would have... If I... Here's an example, a great example of a conversation I just had with a very successful real estate person in multi-tenant stuff. I said, I flipped several houses and renovated them. And I don't care if someone dropped down an education program like Land Academy or House Academy that outlines step by step, there's no chance that you can fail at renovating a house and make $1 million a year. I would not do it. I wouldn't even kid myself because I can't stand renovating houses. Oh. I can't stand it. I can't stand picking out curtains, moving walls around, picking out appliances, yelling at contractors. I hate everything about it.
It can't be done. It's just you personally, internally don't like those deals.
I think that's what's going on. Like, if you do a few deals and you make a bunch of money and you say, you know, this is not for me. I don't like, then I get that.
Well,
so, but tell yourself that and then get out.
Well, I would argue that it's probably, for some people, it's bigger than that. Because here's the thing for you. You could do it, you're choosing not to. But you are choosing to be a business owner, and you are choosing to do it a different way. I think, this person went back to a paycheck. I'm trying to figure out, are they not a property type person, or are they not a business owner at all?
Well, the switch didn't flip for them.
Yeah.
You know, the people that are in the advanced group, are after the first deal, they all say the same thing. And they say it's the same, some version of, boy, I stuck that needle in my arm the first time, and now I'm addicted, and I love every minute of it.
Right.
And so, and I, you know, I stuck the house renovation needle in my arm, and I couldn't pull it out fast enough and run away.
Right. So, what would you say is the number one thing to overcome to go from hobby to business owner?
Well, I don't think that there, for a person like me, it was never a hobby. I did the first deal, and I said, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And I'm going to build an empire.
Well, wait a minute. What about, I'm not picking on you here.
No, that's okay.
Because you started
this. I think this is good for people to hear.
Yeah, I'm thinking you, but I would argue that you did do it for a hobby initially. Because you were doing, you didn't dive into it head first. You tested this.
I dove it into head first.
Well, wait a minute.
To prove a concept.
You had another job though.
Yep.
You didn't immediately leave your other job.
I almost immediately left it.
Well, but still, you had another job while you were doing this and flipping properties and said, all right, there's something to this.
I bought an 80-acre property from Ohio on eBay, repackaged it up, and sold it for twice what I paid, all in the matter of 30 days.
Right.
I said to myself right then, I remember this like it was yesterday, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life after I test it and make sure that just wasn't a fluke.
Right.
And I did, and I kept my job for 2 years in one way or another until I was making way more money than what my paycheck was for.
Right.
And I left. And so here we are several years, a lot of years, decades later.
Okay, because in your head, this wasn't just making money on the side.
I skipped the hobby phase.
Okay.
You know, I don't...
So what about people in the hobby phase? What would you say?
I would... I'm going to sound like your father now. I would have a hard, good look, talk with yourself in the mirror. You know? This is a great side gig for some people. It's not, you know, you can do 5 or 10 properties and make an amazing living a year. So if that's what you're calling a hobby, then I guess you're happy. But a hobby to me is like
renovating cars.
Yeah, I mean, you don't necessarily do it for money.
Right.
You do it because you enjoy it. You know, like doing a puzzle. Oh. There's no money component to it. You know, sure. I'm telling you, you're renovating a car. You, if you make any money, you have magic dust or something.
Yeah, it's definitely, there's a love, it's a passion.
You don't make money.
It's a passion project,
right?
On this. So this is not a passion project.
Hobby enthusiast might not be the right phrase here.
Right.
You know, the question is, how do you go from amateur to pro?
Right.
And so if you, and the reason that you know you're an amateur and not just a hobby enthusiast is because of the needle thing in the arm.
It's good.
So if you're not listening to this, you should be listening to this saying, all right, I believe it's obvious that this works. I'm a data person.
Right.
I want to own my own business. W-2 thing doesn't work for me. And I want to get rich, and I want to feel good about doing it and provide for my family and do some amazing stuff with my life from a financial standpoint. Then you're in the right place. If you want a little side gig where you make a couple $100,000 a year, you're in the right place. If you want a hobby, there's a lot of other podcasts for you.
You know what, though? I would end on this for me, if I may. I think there's a lot of people in our group, not a lot, I think there are some in our group that it does start off as a hobby. Like, you know what, let's just see what this is about. It's kind of cool. Maybe they're just trying to buy their dream vacation property or something, like their dream property to build their house on. And this is a fun way to look at properties, get to know the area, find their dream one with the view and everything like that. But what could happen... They go from hobby to, amateur. Like, you know, if I buy these other five, even though I don't want to build on it, these other five are going to make me money. So
you
just, I think...
You got the needle in your arm.
That's it. So I think that's it. I think this is for me, is the answer. You're going from hobby accidentally to amateur, and then you go to pro. You go, all right, now we're going to times 10 this.
Yeah.
That's the answer. Happy you could join us today, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday this week. You find us on the Land Academy Show. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we are on the House Academy Show.
Next week, join us on the Land Academy Show for another interesting episode. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Yay. The Land Academy Show remains commercial free for you, our loyal listener. So wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, please subscribe and rate us there. We're
Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.